The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After months of building up the nerve to go play with strangers, I pulled up to this game shop. I sat in my car. You know, in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, when Cameron is thinking about leaving to go pick up Ferris, and he's sitting in the car and he's like, I'll go. You know, he does that thing where he starts and he's like, that's how I was in the parking lot of the strip mall. Because I had my tackle box, but I was like, if I walk in there and I got a tackle box and nobody else has a tackle box, then I look like an idiot and everyone else is playing Pokemon. And what am I doing here?
Fanatics. Ooh. Everyone's got their thing. Fanatics.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, hopefully they hear the Fanatics podcast. Hi, guys. I'm one of your hosts, as always, David Magadoff, and with me is my most beautiful, effervescent, and lovely co-host, Miss Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David. I love that intro. You always make me feel so good about myself. Thank you for that.
It's true, and you're welcome. This is our first Star Wars-related podcast episode.
And when you said the galaxy far, far away, I think everyone of our, you know, within like three decades of how old both of us are, can picture in their mind that scrolling original, like through the starscape. You know, it's like one of those memes where, you know, you don't see what you hear, but you actually do. So yes, we're talking about Star Wars today, but not just Star Wars. Well, first, why don't we introduce, you know, who's coming on our show, David?
Absolutely. We have on today a very wonderful guest, Mr. Rob Kirkovich, a dear friend of mine from college days, guys. You know him from NCIS New Orleans, or New Orleans, or Nolans, however you'd like to pronounce it. He's been on the whole dang series, as well as Chasing Life, The Devil Cats, Cloverfield. Guys, Rob is a wonderful guy, and he is on here to talk about his love that not a lot of people know of X-Wing miniatures game. This is a very niche, awesome little game that is for a fervent group of people who love these Star Wars, but small. And again,
small, very small.
And playing together like Dungeons and Dragons, and he's going to get all into it. And it is super fun the way he describes it, and not as nerdy as I think he thinks it is. I actually think it's something incredibly lovely and relatable.
But you know what's funny, David, is you met him in college, in theater school or whatever, and then you listed his credits were, you know, a procedural and like Cloverfield and like the something with the devil cats, you know, very serious stoic work. He's a funny guy. He's super funny. Like I want to go like hang out with him and just tell jokes and also play this game. But, you know,
he's an improv guy. He's a comedy first guy. There was a improv comedy group at our college, like every college has, called Comedus Interruptus. And I was there and he was like big man on campus. And everyone was like that. Like he was the guy. He was the guy that was just so funny and so tall and as tall as he is funny and as thin as he is tall. And I got to have him be a part of my student theater first play that I ever wrote in my own nerdy fashion. And that's how I came to love USC, because I didn't even know if I wanted to stay at USC. I don't know about you, Claire, but there's definitely that moment where I came to school where I wasn't 100% certain this was the place I wanted to be. And we had a thing called Brand New Theater where kids could write plays, and we all just came up with stuff together. And that really cemented my love for that school and my time there, because we all just lived and breathed each other, had a great time, so much fun. And I mean, wonderful people came out of that. Patrick Adams, who you know from Suits, he ran Brand New Theater by the time it was all over. So it was a really special group, and Rob was a really special guy to meet during that time. And I'm just so thrilled for his success and all that good stuff. But yeah, he was the comedic part on NCIS.
He's super
New Orleans,
funny,
for sure.
And like, let's just go hang out with him. That's and also play the X-Wing miniature game.
At the least, just let's listen to this episode.
Exactly.
Only because we're getting into Star Wars today, just a kind of a random question, and it's sort of a general question. It doesn't have to be specific to Star Wars. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like Oscar Isaac?
Oh, just in general? A 10, 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Wow.
He's a genius.
Okay.
He's great.
Well, I feel like we should be talking about him for the rest of the podcast.
That was
sadly,
my second choice was
about.
Oscar Isaac in terms of things I'm obsessed with. So for the second, when I come back, we'll focus on Oscar.
Oh, totally. Your part two is already in the works.
And his magnificent Dune beard. Yeah.
So X-Wing, the miniatures game. Please, can you just at least for Claire and I and anyone else listening who tuning in, what is it in the Webster's Merriam dictionary sort of way?
So X-Wing is a tabletop strategy game that employs the use of tiny pre-painted Star Wars spaceships that you then sort of you're in a sort of like a one-on-one situation, and you're sort of flying your ships against your opponent in this sort of what is thematically supposed to be like a dogfight. And you each have your own little dials that are assigned to each ship, so you're secretly putting in what your moves are going to be. Mm-hmm. It's almost like chess. It's like chess meets Magic the Gathering, because mm-hmm. there's cards that you get to pick and choose from, meets like D&D with like dice rolls to see if you succeed or fail in shooting at people. There's also some hand-eye coordination in there. I'm sure there's other things I can think of to make it sound like more of a legitimate use of my time. Like it strengthens my neurons or something like that. But mostly it's about being a grown person playing with Star Wars
which sounds like something many, many grown people would love to do, because there are so many parameters that it's it's a strategic game, so you can get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're building your for when you actually go into a battle,
right?
A space battle. You're honing those skills.
So you mentioned time, and I'm curious, since David and I are not familiar, maybe our audience isn't either, how long does one of these games last, or is it played like D&D in sessions over a long period of time?
So the sort of the standard format is it's 75 minutes long from the start of the game to the end of the game.
Efficient.
It's efficient, yeah. And but it's taxing because you have to really kind of figure out what you don't know what your opponent's going to do. You don't know if your ship's going to smash into each other because you have to use these little templates to put in front of the ship that then moves the ship. So, you know, there's some hand-eye stuff there, as I've mentioned. I really want to hammer that home, that I'm really improving my body by playing this game.
Okay, so there's dice, there's cards, there's the ships. Mm-hmm. Is there a tabletop, like, board that you have to put out?
There's a mat.
A mat.
I'm glad you asked that. It's supposed to be played on a 3x3 surface.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a less popular mode of the game that's called Epic, and that's where you can get bigger ships and play on a 6x3 mat if you even own a table that's that large. Or you can go to your local game shop.
This is like Catan Seafarers, like when you're adding to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess like, I don't know if you guys have you guys ever heard of Warhammer or Warhammer 40K? Okay. So that's like the most popular sort of like miniatures game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I didn't even really, and I don't know if this is getting ahead of the game a little bit, because you guys might ask this, but I was never even into these types of games until I want to say like 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, what's the origin story for you, Rob?
Well, obviously, big Star Wars fan. I have been my whole life. So anything that has the words Star and Wars sort of next to each other in that order, I guess I wouldn't care so much if it was Wars Stars or whatever. But if it was Star Wars, you're going to get my attention. Like, I'm going to double take at something. It could be a coffee mug, you know, it could be whatever branded thing, or it could be a game. So You know, I was always like, I played a lot of video games throughout my life, through my 20s, you know, living with other deadbeat roommates and playing video games all day and stuff. But once I had a family, that started going downhill just because I was so tired. Like, at, you know, 9 o'clock rolls around, I do not want to shoot zombies or have any sort of, you know, or strangers on the internet. You know, I just, I'm done. So I think that coupled with moving to New Orleans to be on NCIS New Orleans, I didn't know anybody. And so I think I started shifting more into sort of like tabletop games, like board games like Catan or what, you know, sort of those types of games. And I discovered this kind of, I don't know what the best word for it is, kind of like a dungeon crawly thing, but with Star Wars. It was sort of like you lay tiles down, you each have your own little mini guy, and you move around.
And this is all in person, right? You're doing this with people.
Yeah, because I needed...
Breathing the same air, eating nachos.
Yeah, I needed friends. I needed friends real bad. Yeah. And I don't know, I guess the older I got, the more I think I was valuing in person, which is ironic considering that then COVID happened. But, you know, I think I was valuing in-person interaction more so than online gaming experiences. Mm-hmm. And so that led me into this game called Imperial Assault, which was, I started playing with a bunch of dudes and we sort of had a regular thing going. And then one of those dudes made the mistake of saying, hey, the company, which at the time was called Fantasy Flight Games, the company that makes this game also makes this game with spaceships. And again, you know, I was like, well, I don't know if I care. He's like, it's Star Wars. And I was like, I'm listening. So
I'm in.
So we played, you know, we just played like a casual kind of round of it or two. And then the thing with these games that's important to note is they're like, you know, the nerd drug dealer sort of thing where they sort of are like, hey, you buy this starter pack. It's two TIE fighters and an X-Wing. You know, so you got two bad ships and a good ship. That's all you'll need to have a good time. But then you play it for 10 minutes and you realize, oh, I need every ship that has been made for this game, which of course they all sell separately. And then within that, you've got different factions. So you could commit to like, I'm only going to be the Rebels. So you've got X-Wings and the Millennium Falcon and stuff like that. Or I'm only going to be Imperials. But then you've got seven of these things. Seven different like teams, basically, for lack of a better word, that you could. So, of course, I bought almost all of them.
Of course.
And I put them all in tackle boxes. The way you store these things is very personal to you. It's like you got to figure it out on your own. There's no one answer.
Like fish bait tackle.
Yeah,
is
I will
what you're
walk
saying?
Into it. Yeah, it's funny. If you go into Amazon and you search like Plano, which is the company, Plano tackle boxes or whatever, and you click on some of these models of the tackle box, it'll say customers also bought X-Wing playmat, X-Wing ships. Like you realize that like this company is like half funded by nerds who want a place to put their tiny ships.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So, okay, I'm wrapping my head around this, and this definitely sounds like a game I could get into because I love, you know, strategy games. I love components and battle on games, not in real life.
Sure.
So I'm thinking in my head, well, everything in a game, in a tabletop game, is miniature. So why is miniature in the title of this game? What makes this like a miniature game? How's that play in?
I think, and I don't know this, so don't quote me, although you're literally recording me.
I'm quoting
so
you
that
right
is
now.
Quoting me. Yeah.
Yeah, we're putting a trademark after every word
please
you say
do
in the
upload
final
it
edit.
Directly to Wikipedia. I think there's a sub, and again, I don't know for sure, but I think there's a sub-genre of tabletop games, right? Like, let's say, like, board games, right? It's sort of like, that's on a table, it's a, technically a tabletop game. And then you sort of break it down. I think there's one genre called, like, Euro-style, which I don't know what that means. But I hear it bandied around a lot. Mm-hmm. Miniature games, I think, are games where you've got tiny little vehicles or people. And I think there's a level of complexity there that's not in, like, say, Chutes and Ladders or something. You wouldn't call, like, Monopoly a miniatures game because it's got a tiny shoe and then a tiny whatever the other things are, right? I think it has to be a miniaturized thing, not necessarily that exists in real life, because obviously, unfortunately, these ships do not exist. But I think it just indicates a level of either complexity or a level of financial commitment to some of these games that, you know, you're not going to get from Carcassonne or whatever, you know, these other sort of more popular Ticket to Ride, you know, these games that,
yeah,
that, you know, I feel like there's different tiers of people. It's like, I like a good board game. And you're thinking like Trivial Pursuit or Monopoly. And then there's another tier of people that are like, I know Pandemic. I know, you know, Ticket to Ride. I know these other games. And then you get into like then you get deep. Then you fall into this thing, which is like, I have these tiny ships. And the thing that's kind of fascinating about it is that for this game in particular, I think part of the reason I got into it is because all the ships and stuff are kind of pre-painted. You like the X-Wing looks like the X-Wing that Luke flies, or the TIE fighters look like whatever. But people will then go and paint over these things. And some of these other quote-unquote miniatures games, like this game I was referencing, Warhammer or Warhammer 40K, it's like you buy these packs of these ships or these troops or whatever, and you have to assemble them yourself. They're not painted. So you then have to like prime them, paint them however you want. And people love that. It's like the hobby section of the thing. I do not have the time to do any of that. I painted one of these ships. It looks like I accidentally dropped it into like a paint bucket. It doesn't look great. But people really get into, oh, I'm gonna like, you know, I've seen all kinds of crazy like thematic, like they paint them all to look the same color, you know, all the way to they paint it to look like it's coming, it's like decloaking. So there'll be like
half and half.
Like a really cool like Starfield painted on one half. Yeah, Starfield painted on the back half of a ship, and then like an electrical arc down the side, and then the ship itself. So so you go online and you search some of these things that some people put LED lights in these things. Like they go bonkers.
But I think that's one of those moments where you go, you know what? I'm really glad I have all this time for that, but I'm really glad that I don't have that level of time.
I'm glad that I'm
there
married.
Does come a level where
because
you're like, I have a wife, I have kids, I have hobbies. How many of these miniatures do you have?
Oh, God. So these tackle boxes, you can buy ones that are like stacked like four layers deep. I have two of those. So I have eight of these tackle box racks filled with ships. I would estimate that I've got like 50 ships. You know, a lot of doubles. Because, you know, you don't want to like, you don't just put one TIE fighter out. You put four, you know, otherwise you don't look cool.
How many do they have? Like, how many can you buy if you were to buy all of them one day?
I don't know. And there's a lot of controversy. I'm not going to get into it too far here. But
we want to know about the controversy. Come on.
So the company changed hands. Okay. The parent company, which is called Asmodee, which is like a big board game conglomerate, whatever.
Asmodee.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're based in Europe, but they own all these smaller game studios. Okay. So it's almost like, Sony owns all these different things, right? So they're kind of like the big daddy. And then they own all these smaller studios that they've sort of bought over the years. They have shifted. They've taken X-Wing away from the company that created it, and they gave it to a different company that is more like miniatures focused. Like they have a Marvel game that apparently people love, little Marvel guys, called Crisis Protocol. People are super into that. Another game where you have to buy things, assemble them, and paint them. So I'll never play it. And then people got all up in arms about that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys know this. The internet is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And
what?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. especially when no one can actually see each other in person. So that happened. And then this small company sort of started to drip out information that they were going to be changing some of the rules in the game. That set people into an insanity spiral. People went nuts. But what's funny is, like, I don't know. It's, you get caught up in this. You start following the Facebook chatter.
Oh, I'm looking up the subreddit right now.
Yeah, subreddit. I feel like Facebook is more the Discord, which is an app I didn't even know existed until this game.
That's the true nerds are on Discord.
Exactly. That's what I'm finding out. I'm very excited to be with them, finally. But they're doing is like mentioning that they're thinking about changing these rules or that they're exploring this. And people are like, you're ruining the game. Like, people lose their mind. And you forget when you are as invested in it as I am, that in the grand scheme of things, we're talking probably like a few thousand people, you know, that are like going this crazy. But if you steep yourself in it for this long, it's like, well, the whole world is on fire right now because X-Wing might be changing who goes first in the player order, you know? So it's good to sort of...
Do you engage, Rob, or are you sort of sit back and watch?
No, I lurk. I've always been a lurker.
So they don't know. They're not like, Rob Kirkovich is on here. This is cool. You're just like, your name is like Shadow Man 49 and you're just watching.
Exactly. Yeah. I creep in the shadows. I also don't know if they'd even care. If they did recognize my name, I don't know if anyone would actually give a shit. But
it's good to have an online alias.
Cool. Well, yeah.
If Kevin Durant can do it.
Yeah, totally. Well, what's funny is I built up the nerve. This is a good segue because I was lurking for years. You know, this thing went from first edition, then it went to a second edition where some rules were changed. The Force was introduced as a mechanic. Watch out. New tokens. Got to have tokens in these things. And I've been sticking with it the whole time, but I've only really been playing with my friends. You know, like, come over. I may have had a table made to the exact specifications of this game.
Maybe.
3x3.
Maybe. With LED lights that line the inside of it if you want to get nuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who made it? How did you find this person? Did Joanna Gaines give you somebody?
I wish.
Wait, I want to hear...
It would have too much, like, filigree on it.
I want to hear about the game gang, though. Keep going with the peoples.
Yeah. Okay, so I've been playing with these guys. To answer your question, Magadoff, there was a guy on the crew of NCIS New Orleans who really wants to start a gaming table business. And so I was like his second customer, and it's great. I love it.
Cool.
But so I've been playing with just in person with my friends, but always lurking on these things, and eventually decided, you know what? It's 2022 now. I think I'm going to actually try to like go to an event. Like, I'm going to actually try to play in person. I mean, I'd gone to a game shop after months of building up the nerve to go play with strangers. I pulled up to this game shop. I sat in my car. You know, in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, when Cameron is thinking about leaving to go pick up Ferris, and he's sitting in the car and he's like, I'll go. You know, he does that thing where he starts and he's like, that's how I was in the parking lot of the strip mall. Because I had my tackle box, but I was like, if I walk in there and I got a tackle box and nobody else has a tackle box, then I look like an idiot and everyone else is playing Pokemon. And what am I doing here? So I finally built up the nerve. So I had played with some strangers once or twice at a local game shop. But I was like, I'm going to go to like a tournament. Mm-hmm. And obviously there weren't a lot of tournaments going on, big ones, because of pandemic and people being socially responsible and all that stuff. But there was this one that happened just last weekend in Las Vegas. And I was able to convince my wife that I could go because I took one of our kids with me, and it just so happens that her father lives there. So I was like, that's great. So yeah, this is great. The older kid will have a great day with grandpa. This is a grandpa visit, first and foremost. Secondly, it will be me spending 8 hours getting humiliated by strangers. So is that cool? And so I went, and I'm so glad that you guys hit me up, because I was trying to film it as like a... I was going to make like a 10-minute documentary about me like preparing for this thing and being super nervous and getting input and insight from people. But that all went out the window when I got there because I was so terrified. I'm not John Wilson. I wish I was John Wilson. I wish I could shoot stuff and be hilarious. I'm not. And so I was going to like interview guys in between each match and all this stuff. And I was so scared about getting to the next table in time. about if I was going to, how badly I was going to play. Like, if, do I have all my little components and tokens and chits and whatever? So I didn't end up doing it. So I'm glad I have a way to actually
Let's talk about your emotions during the tournament, because this is your first, this is the very first time you've played in an event like this. And it is stressful. I know the first time I played in a poker tournament where it was like a legit tournament, I was like, I couldn't even play my normal game because I was so nervous about like, am I going to embarrass myself? Am I doing everything right? As we progress tables, you know? So let's talk about that a little bit. You sit down to play your first match in your first tournament at this event. And what is your heart doing? What is your mind doing? What's going on?
Pounding. Nothing's making any sense. You know, there's so many people there, you know, relatively speaking. I think the first day they had like 60 something people. And then day two is like 80 something. And then the top 32, roughly, I think, of those 2 days then go on to the final day, which I never had any like aspirations towards getting that. I was just like, I just want to go. I want to have a good time. I want to challenge myself to go to a place. I don't know anybody. I mean, like, I usually need somebody that I'm friendly with to like hang out with during these things. I just was sitting there with my little box of chips, like waiting. I didn't know how it worked. You're waiting for like pairings. You're waiting to find out what table you're going to. But luckily, from what I'm understanding about this community, is that it's super chill. You know, I think I've heard things about like Magic the Gathering. Part of it is that there, it's not like a cash prize. None of these tournaments offer like a lot of money. So some of the stress is off, I think, especially since it's so fiddly with you, your hand could actually bump a ship on the table and then you got to reset it kind of to where you think it was. If there was money involved in situations like that, it would not be a fun time. But for the most part, everyone was just like super cool. You know, usually you know that the person across the table from you loves Star Wars. That's usually a good prerequisite to get involved in the game. Some people don't as much, but you can pretty much start the game and be like, so what do you think about Book of Boba Fett, huh? And immediately have a way to connect, right? Because it is such a specific theme to the game, you know.
Oscar Isaac scale 1 through 10.
You just start that. You start with his beard. Like poker, I would imagine, you know, poker is a wider net. People like gambling and playing cards, you know, like you don't know what are your other interests.
Really, the only common denominator is being super competitive.
Yeah, exactly.
Willing to lose money.
Yeah, and there are some people there that were like that for sure. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, everyone's just chill. And so, you know, I, of course, would just like blurt out immediately, this is my first tournament, I don't know what I'm doing, just right away. So that they would know that if I missed one of the 8,000 rules that you're supposed to keep track of, that it wasn't intentional. I wasn't trying to pull the wool over their eyes or anything like that. Because, you know, you've got to keep track of all your cards. If you do one thing, then suddenly that triggers another thing and you've set this other thing up that'll react to that. So, you know, there's a lot to kind of keep in mind.
So how did your confidence and your self-assuredness, you know, wax or wane over the day?
It went like this. It went game one, I lost. And I reckon the ships that were set up across from me, you know, in games like this, there's something called the meta, mm-hmm. right? Where it's, what is the current meta? Like, what are the good ships right now based on what they cost and what they do? Because they'll adjust what these things, you have 200 points to work with. So it's like they'll shift in price.
Does the meta affect every individual match in the tournament, or is that only match exclusive?
I guess it affects everything because you don't, you know, if one ship is suddenly very good because it has this ability that has yet to be like nerfed, or that they haven't figured, or someone's found this combo that just breaks everything, then a ton of people will bring that because they want to get to the final day, right? There's other people that are more like noble or whatever, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word for it. But it's like, I'm just going to, you know what? I like these ships. I like Darth Vader. I'm going to put Darth Vader on the table and I'm going to see what happens, you know, that kind of thing. So game one, I recognized that these ships across from me were beasts and that I, whatever, you know, I was just going to have a good time. This is the other crazy thing. When the matches start, more than half of my opponents gave me shit before the game started. They gave me like prizes. They gave me like, this one dude started, he had a challenge coin.
I thought you meant they gave you shit like they're like, you're going down.
No, thank God. There was.
I like that they're like, no, they're actually giving me things.
They gave
me
stuff. This guy had
kind.
Like custom made challenge coins made and a sticker. gave you that. And I'm like, I didn't bring anything. I don't know. What would I even bring? I don't know what I'm supposed to bring. But if, you know, they'll usually bring stuff that they've had custom made from there's various Etsy shops that'll make like alternative game pieces for the game, which is super cool. So it's like in soccer where you give each other jerseys.
No, like, I mean, I was just thinking that. Stuff. Yeah. Continue. I've got some gift ideas for you to like percolate.
Oh, good.
With.
Okay, yeah, great. So yeah. I need some for the next time I go.
So game one lost.
Lost game one. It wasn't like a blowout. Like I hung in there, which I was proud of. Game two, I won that game and we had a great time. But you know, another factor to this game is variance with your dice. Mm-hmm. And my dice for that game, like I was just rolling the best rolls I could ever hope to roll. And he was not rolling as well. So that's right. The whole thing people have to get over is like, do you blame, you know, you don't want to look like an ass and be like, well, I would have won if the dice did help me out. You know, it's like, well, that's just part of it. So then I was feeling good. I was like 1-1. I only need to be 4-1. We played 5 games in the day, which means that for me, game three, my brain is this just like juice, just swishing around in my skull. Like it was completely, my brain was already done. But so at 1-1, I was like, I got a shot. I just got to win, what, 3 more? And I could actually go to the, I could cancel my flight. My wife will love this.
More grandpa time.
So, yeah, more grandpa time. He'll miss school on Monday. That's fine. But then I proceeded to lose 3 in a row. Mm. So that's how that went. So it was great because I texted texted our friends here in Colorado and my wife was on it. And I was like, 1-4, baby. And then I got a private text from my wife who said, I'm so proud of you. You know, and at first I was like, wait, is she being sarcastic right now? But then also I was like, oh, she's just proud that I went or whatever. And then when I got home and explained it to her, she's like, oh, I thought wins were second. I thought you won 4 and you lost 1. And then I just got this look of like, okay.
Well,
she wasn't trolling and she wasn't bigging you up.
Yeah, she just misread the situation.
What is the most elating moment you've had either in a tournament or playing with friends or even just like a new ship arrives? Like, what is that peak moment for you so far with your collection?
Sure. It's a tie. There's been a couple times playing with friends where, you know, if you just manage to fit the ship into this tiny spot because there's other ships around or you're up against the edge of the board because you've accidentally put your ship off the board, that ship's gone. It's like pieces out or whatever. Just like you lost those points and that ship's gone. So there's been times where I've pulled up and just been like, I mean, I've got like photographs that I've taken of just like the tiniest sliver of Matt left between like the edge and my ship and then my buddy's like middle finger like sticking in, you know. So those moments are great. The moments when you roll like the most improbable roll, like you roll like 4 dice and they're the each one, you know, they're 8-sided die or 8-sided dice. I always screw up the singular versus the plural there, but and it's like on each die there's one super hit basically, but so it's a 1 out of 8 chance, but you roll like 4 of those at once, you know, stuff like that. And then obviously, yeah, new ships come. It's not like you go right back to being a kid of like, there's a spaceship in a box. I get to open it and put it in a thing, you know. So that part's fun too.
How often will you play? Here you are in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's very cold there. So I've heard
it's
during
cold.
The winter months.
I think it's four right now. It's 4 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah.
4 what?
4 degrees, 4 total degrees.
I know. I mean, it's for somebody else,
yeah.
Not me to be here.
Yep.
So did you find your group now? Did you find your friends out there to be playing with it in person?
Yeah, I found there's a game shop in town that I've been going to. I've been a couple times. Everyone there seems really sweet and nice. Every time, you know, in New Orleans, it was the same way when I went to the game shop. You know, I think with games like this that are sort of, not on the fringe, because that makes it sound like extreme, something like that. It's like only the toughest people play miniatures games. But I think with games like this that are a little lesser known, if somebody walks into a shop is like, I'm kind of curious about this game or I came to play this game, everyone's pumped because mm-hmm. it means like another person to play with. It means another person that will show up on game night, you know, every Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it is. So the community is very welcoming across the board, even like in online discourse and stuff like that. Everyone's pretty chill, which is nice.
I always like asking actors because they'll come on the show and they'll tell us about this cool fanaticism that they have. And I always wonder, did you ever bring this with you to set? Like, did you ever tell Bakula, like, you know, you got to get into this? Or was this something that you just kept to your heart?
No,
and
I've
never shared with
yeah,
anyone.
No, this is not a private thing. I've definitely brought, I've gone on lunch breaks to the game shop and like had to tell the, you know, the base camp PA, like, listen, I should be back in time. But I,
there's a 99% chance I'll be back in time.
Yeah, exactly. But you see, General Grievous's ship has just been released, and I gotta go get it right now, even though I still have never played it.
Okay, so, Rob, is it a good thing or a bad thing that your wife is not a player as well?
It's probably good. It's good. I'm trying to get my 7-year-old involved in it because I'm like, spaceships. You know, and so I try to give him like very basic versions of it. And he's into it for about, you know, 2 rounds, maybe 3 rounds. And then he kind of floats away.
I play a lot of games with my kids. My 7-year-old just turned 8. He's my youngest. He can do that's an age where they can start to do it. Like my son now plays yeah. Catan. He plays Risk. Those are two good entryway
oh, yeah.
strategy games because they're not quite as mm-hmm. complex, it sounds like, although I haven't played this particular game. Keep working with your son. It can happen.
Yeah. No, I'm pumped. And yeah, he just did his first Ticket to Ride, which he did pretty well on. We've got a couple other games that he's got a mind for it for sure. I just don't want to be like the, you know, the equivalent of like the hockey dad or something, mm-hmm. but with like nerdery. Like I feel like I've already been like that with him with Star Wars in general. I'm like, hey, what do you want to do tonight? We could watch one of these 8 movies, or do you want to maybe watch these 4 TV shows? You know, and I think he's sort of like, no, what if I just watch this other thing instead that's specifically made for children? I was like, okay, fine.
All right.
Yeah, whatever. Well, you know, I've got the other one coming up, so that's fine.
I always love to finish off with a why. Why do you think, if you've ever thought about it,
oh, I have.
If you haven't, I want this to be the moment. Why do you love this so much? Is like psychologically almost like, do you think there's a part of you as a 12-year-old that just likes being with people? Is it a competition thing? Is it a friend-based thing? Is it when you're in a good mood, a bad mood? Why do you think this X-Wings is really tapping into you?
I think it just stems from, like I said, sort of this transition from just this desire to be hanging out with people. Because in LA before NCIS, you know, David, we went to college together. You know that at USC, anyone who continues to want to be in the business usually stays in LA, right? So I already had this built-in friend base of like 40 something people, you know, that were all, everyone, and half of them all moved to the east side of LA, like Silver Lake, Los Feliz, Echo Park. So we were all within shouting distance of each other. I spent most of my 20s and early 30s bouncing around with them in the middle of the day. Like there was just this sense of community, I guess. And then I get dropped in New Orleans where I don't know anybody. And I think that sort of fueled this transition into wanting something that would be an excuse to hang out and, but also scratch the sort of gaming itch. And you know, there's a whole other argument to be made about like video games have gotten away from multiple people sitting on a couch playing the same game. You know, it's all online. A lot of these like, first-person shooters have migrated away from even doing split-screen stuff. So I just needed something where I could hang out and drink and be with some friends and make jokes, mostly nerd jokes, and play this game and not take it too seriously. You know, a similar thing happened with me in D&D, like got full back into D&D around this time too. So I think it just provides an excuse to get together, still have the gamery aspect, but then also you get to, you know, hang your hat on this sort of nerdy element.
It's a club. It's an exclusive club. You know what I mean? Like when you're able to like siphon off and talk about something like that in depth with a certain community, it bonds you.
Yeah. And that's not to say you don't also meet people that you don't necessarily bond with immediately, but you're sort of like, it's a symbiotic relationship where you're like, we're both using each other because we want someone to play this game with. Mm-hmm. You know, ideally, you're finding people that you're like, oh, and then after this, we can go do something else or, you know, meet up ahead of time and go get dinner, you know. But then you still find people like, let's use each other mm-hmm. and play this game.
Why do you think, I mean, you've talked of obviously your love of Star Wars, but just, I don't know, just asking, why do you think this game? Because I do have a dear friend of mine. He's one of our producers on Dexter that we just did, and he he like I sent him a text the other day. I was like, do you want to hang out? He's like, oh, I'm in Idlewild. And he took with some friends, he took a photo and sent it to me of literally he brought with him to Idlewild like 40 games with him. So he's like, I just like all games.
Yeah.
I don't have any issues. Just the idea of being with people in games is great. You seem to really nailed into this one. Are you someone who just does one game at a time in life, you think? Or is there something about this specific game that just is like, this is literally hitting everything I've ever wanted on so many levels?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to play other games. I like other games. It just depends on who's around and who wants to play them, you know, and that'll sort of dictate what game is chosen. But for X-Wing, you know, I'm not sitting around looking at pandemic Reddit boards or whatever. You know, with X-Wing, it's like I'm deep. And I do think the easy answer is that it's just Star Wars related. So any excuse to look at Star Wars iconography or make jokes about Star Wars to somebody who will understand the deep cut I just dropped from Attack of the Clones or whatever is nice and rewarding. But also I think just the mechanics of it scratch an itch for me because, you know, I've played Magic since high school, but I was never very good at it. But I like the element of like you have to build your deck. You have to like choose from thousands of cards and figure out what's the thing that works for you and what fits your play style and all this stuff. Then you've got the dice. So there's luck involved. So it's not always just, oh, I failed out of the gate because I didn't build the right deck. It's like, well, I don't know. Maybe my dice will be fire and that'll be great. Plus the tactile thing of the ships and moving them around. It just sort of combines, I think, a ton of things that I love in separate games anyway. And then just to have them all together under the Star Wars skin, kind of. It's just sort of like magic.
Cue John Williams music, and we're out.
Yeah.
No, it's the perfect Rob Kirkovich game. I'm hearing it. I love it. It makes me happy. All right. This was a wonderful, wonderful conversation. If you could regale us with a love letter to that thing that you love, please.
Okay.
Please.
Do you guys usually put like slow piano music under this, or how is it? You zhuzh it up?
God willing, when this is airing, that will be there, and we'll see if our producers can get to it. And if not, everyone, just imagine it.
Just imagine like the gentle tinkling of ivories. Dear X-Wing, the miniatures game, I love you. I've always loved you, and I'm sorry that it took this long to make that love public. Thank you for being there for me when I'm eating a turkey sandwich at my dining room table, watching video replays of people I've never met play this game. Thank you for providing an app that I can then stare at when I should be asleep in bed next to my wife. Building nameless squads that will never be put on the table. Thank you for just being there during a difficult time in our lives. There's a pandemic that refuses to go away. But you, X-Wing, you are forever. The end. Love, Rob.
Love, Rob.
Kirkovich.
Fantastic.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
I'm I really enjoyed the part where we where I made Rob again and again describe his feeling walking into that tournament, because I almost felt like I could really empathize with how he was feeling. You know, there's so much pressure. You're a fan of this game. You play it in your home. You play it with your friends, but you don't go into this like real professional setting. And just to see him walking in with like his, you know, 800 ships and tackle boxes and being like, here I am, and thinking prior, oh, I was going to do like a little documentary or, you know, some behind the scenes of this tournament, and then being like, hell no, I got to focus. I don't know, yeah. David, what do you think? How do you think you would act in that sort of like tournament setting?
Well, I think you nailed it, of just that feeling of just being the first day at school, right? You're mm-hmm. just you're excited. It's like almost picturing him with his little tackle box, like a little lunch box. I've definitely been in that scenario outside of a group where you're by yourself. You're not with your wife. You're not with a boyfriend, a girlfriend. You're not with a friend. And you're like, but I really want to do this thing. And I'm just going to have to meet some people. And I'm just going to have to be a little awkward at the beginning. But it's worth it, because the thing I'm getting into right now is special enough, I hope, that it's worth this uncomfortability. And it's almost, dare I say, taking a risk. And it's really sweet that he realized, I need this so much that it's worth me overcoming my little fears, right? Mm-hmm. Of feeling awkward potentially for like an hour, and realizing, and of course, enjoying it, making friends. We all know it's going to work out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's still scary, even as an adult with two children, right?
Right, exactly. And I really encourage him, as I did, to get his son like into it. His son, I think 7's a great age to start.
Yeah.
You know, with strategy, strategic games and role-playing games. And, you know, I don't know. It seems a good thing. It would be hard for me to not have a partner who also played. Like, I think I would make, if I were him, I would like make his wife learn to play, just so like you could, if all else fails and no one else is around and you can't go to like the game shop or whatever, he can just be like, all right, come on, this is what we're doing tonight. It's only 75 minutes. Yeah. So there, it's not open-ended like so many role-playing or strategy games can be.
Yeah, that is a very sexy part of this game. As soon as mm-hmm. he said, like, it's definitely 75 minutes, I'm like, every Catan game I've ever played can creep into 4 hours, or like a Dungeons & Dragons game. So that's a very sexy thing to know, that it's only that amount of time. But I do appreciate how intense it is. It's a very intense 75 minutes.
It's intense, you know. But here's what I will say about Catan is, now that I have played so much with my kids, because really over, especially this year over Christmas break, because of everything that was going on health-wise, we just hunkered down in the house. And I think we played 4 to 5 games a day. So right now, it doesn't take us longer than 2 hours for one of us to win at Catan, which I feel like we've like drilled it down.
Teach me, Claire. Teach
me. I will.
Me.
I will. I will. I will. My kids are, you know, really aggressive too, especially one of them in particular. I'll let you discover which one.
Guys, thanks so much for being with us today on this wonderful podcast episode with wonderful Rob Kirkovich, Claire, me. We all say thank you, all the love. This is a podcast of love, and we take and give and receive. So please, if you'd be so kind to like and subscribe and follow and share and post, and of course, 5-star it up. Guys, we appreciate it. We love you. We are fanatics for you guys.
And if somehow you've made it this far without following us on Twitter, what are you doing? Go click that little blue bird. We share a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, special moments, photos. So it's a great compliment to the podcast at We Are Fanatics on Twitter.
It is a solid Twitter account, my friends. A deep, good one. Quality, with a capital qua. All right, we'll see you next Thursday.
Bye-bye. And coming up next week on Fanatics, we have Leon. Of course, you know Leon from Oz, that great TV show. Cool Runnings, Above the Rim, played Little Richard in Little Richard, and the Madonna sex book. But he's not here to talk about any of that. Leon is coming on Fanatics to talk about tennis and his love for tennis. So make sure to tune in next Thursday. We'll see you guys then. Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are, FANADDICTS. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode. Throw Darth out on the board. In this game, you won't be bored.
Treat your life like YOLO. Hey, come hang out with Han Solo.
It's X-Wing miniatures game.